Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening to us on a weekly basis as we bring to you mortgage news, real estate news, what's happening in the world, the economy, things that might affect your decisions about whether you want to refinance, which most people probably won't right now, or you want to get into that house buying mode. One of the things that I was reading today before I got to the show was that baby boomers as a group will begin to start selling their homes, age, health, a number of other different reasons why that would happen. But over the next 10 years, they'll be coming on the market about 9 million homes. Now, what is that going to do to the market? They've often called it the baby boom. What do they call it? The baby boom cyclone or the baby boom tsunami. That's what it is, whereby, you know, anybody pictures a tsunami as this huge wave that just engulfs, overtakes, wipes out whatever currently exists. And that would be, of course, the housing market wherever it is now. Nobody wants to see that because, of course, everybody's house is worth something and a lot more than it was even 2-3 years ago. But they have revised what they were saying about the tsunami and pretty much think it's going to be a wave in that those 9 million new homes coming on the market, not new homes, but their existing homes, will be from baby boomers who are retiring, who are not only retiring, but, you know, health-wise, or they just pass away, or, you know, the transfer of that amount of housing wealth to new owners or the next generation is in process for the next 10 years, 9 million homes. That's a lot of houses. I mean, let's face it. If, in fact, we did get that many houses on the market within the next 10 years, let's say a million a year, 700,000 a year, along with the million and a half that we usually have on the market during any given year, that would go a long way towards solving most of the housing needs in most of the country. If you're talking here in Southern California, San Bernardino, Riverside counties, hi, everybody out there at the KCAA land. Yes, Mark and Fred and all the boys and girls who bring us to you. I really appreciate the efforts that they do. They're a great AM and FM signal. We reach in that group about, 3-4 million people. So hi, everybody, once again, and familiar voice. And I always enjoy hearing back from people who have comments. And if you do have comments, hey, you can do it, communicate with me many, many different ways. If you want to visit me, go to YouTube. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice is on YouTube. You can see me. You can click on, say hi. You can join the club and post some comments on each and every show that you do watch. You can go to my website. It is themortgagevoice.com. And we have a number of other different ways that you can get in touch with me. But as we talk about housing and what housing is and how it is going to be affected this summer, we're coming into the spring buying season. And because we have such a low inventory, let's get into that just a little bit. The inventory nationally, this is nationally, and of course this changes on a daily, so. But 497,608 houses in for sale category on multiple listings across the country. Now that is extremely low when you think how many hundreds and thousands of communities there are just here in Southern California. It's just, it's really low. And so that particular number is up, however, about 3,500 from the previous reading, which was last week, when we talked about housing and the amount of housing on the market. All those things being what they are, if you're out there looking right now, you're disappointed, probably, because of the lack of inventory. One of the things that also exacerbates this is we don't have very many new houses on the market either, only about 80,000 new houses across 50 states. That's not great, right? 1,500 per state, and if you look at a state like California with 40 million people, probably 30 million households, That's not going to cut it either. So how do we get from this low inventory? How do we get from needing that baby boomer rush to come in all at once, or at least faster than it's going to come, to really satisfy the demand that's out there. And what we talk about always when we talk about housing and the value of the house going up, we don't look at it in terms of inflation, right? But it is inflation. And one of the reasons that new people, young people, first-time home buyers can't get into this particular market, and I think we've said it before, less than 30% of the people can afford this market, one, by high interest rates on your loan, and two, by the high price on the home that you're trying to buy in the given neighborhood you're trying to buy in it. You know, San Bernardino, Riverside counties, you're out there right now thinking, hey, when are prices going to come down? When can I afford it? I'm tired of renting, even though rent prices have come down a little. But if you talk to people, as I do, all over the state, people don't say that rent prices are going down. They say, I still can't afford the rent prices, regardless of whether they're going down or going up. They went up during the pandemic and have stayed up. They haven't come back down. And when we talk about inflation itself, as we were talking just now about inflation in house prices, inflation simply means that the cost of something today is more than the cost of it yesterday. It doesn't mean that if we have no inflation, that the cost of something today is what it was 2 and 3 years ago pre-COVID, because that's what people are really upset about going forward in buying anything, is that the cost of what they have to pay is so much more than they remember the last time they had to do it. Now, if you're out in the world and you pay for gas every day, that's a whole different ball game, because we've seen gas prices in Southern California go from, I don't know, mid fours, $4.50, all the way up to $7. And that's in the last 8 months. So we are used to, and it's unfortunate, but we are, you know, just beaten down so much with the price of gas that we just pay it. We grumble, but we just move on. We try to blame somebody, but who are you going to blame? There's nobody to blame. I have a theory that I think would cut the economics here in California right to the bone and probably be better for a lot of consumers. End the gas tax, okay, and end a lot of the state programs. And I think those two things would bring California much more in line with what the rest of the country is doing, but more importantly, how we might be able to attract and keep employers and be able to make life a little bit cheaper for commuters who go out there and ride the road every day. I do. I know I've been doing it for 30, 35 years, probably about 25 to 50 miles a day on the car. So I added it up, and I was thinking, okay, let's say you have, I don't know, what is it, $1.25 in taxes on each gallon of gas. Do you know what it is, Daryl? Something like that.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. And California is even higher than most places.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I was saying last week we were in Missouri. I don't know for what. My nephew's birthday, first birthday. It's great. Anyway, $2.50 a gallon of gas. $2.50. When was the last time you saw $2.50 here in California?
Nevada's like $3. You know, New Mexico's
that's
like
what
$3.50.
I mean.
And a half,
so
yeah.
If we're paying $5 on average, right? You pay. I don't pay the unleaded. I pay the middle one because it's a better grade, but it's not the expensive grade, right?
I completely understand.
Right. It's at least $5 right now. So that's at least $2 more. So let's say $1.50, $2 per gallon is tax or some related expense beyond the gas. So if you were to go and fill your tank up twice a week, and you've got a 20-gallon tank, right? That's 40 gallons a week, 160, 1,600. Let's say it's close to 2,000 gallons a year in gas. 2,000 gallons times $2 is how much?
That would be four.
$4,000. That's right. And if you're out there and you're looking for money to put in a down payment on a house, if you're going FHA and it's 3.5%, well, $4,000 is going to go a long way towards paying that down payment, right? So we're talking about aiding and helping first-time homebuyers. And those are the people we need to keep here in California because, like the immigration, we need people who are young to stay in California, pay their fair share into W-2 wages so that a lot of what we have in terms of services can remain. It's that gas tax, and I always harp on this because I hate the gas tax. It's just one of those things, but just a burr in my saddle. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening to us each and every week, bringing you news to use, things that you can think about, and certainly, hopefully, inspire you to either make a move on a mortgage or a real estate deal, or maybe hold off until you actually can figure out how you're going to pay for it and figure out where the down payment's coming from. And, of course, find that dream home or at least an entry-level home that you can get into and want to live in. I am Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. If you want to see this show, go to YouTube. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice is our YouTube site. We are also on a number of different podcasts. Daryl, I'm sure you have a list of those somewhere.
I do, Jeff. Great. It's very handy. Apple Podcasts. It's too far away. Google Music Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, PodClips.io, and, of course, themortgagevoice.com.
Okay, now I always talk about podclips.io. Love the place. It's a centralized location. You can go for a lot of podcasting needs and wants. They have great programming there from all kinds of categories, finance, lifestyle, health, sports. I don't know. They have just a whole bunch of them. This is a group that does a lot of ADR, dispute resolution stuff, especially with mortgages and in your loans. Let's say you get into an issue with a document that you're not quite sure of, and you want to make sure that whoever the lender is living up to their part of the bargain. These people can help you mediate it. If you go there, podclips.io, and look up, what's Mike's last name?
Mike is Anderson.
Mike Anderson, and their particular clip is?
He's doing a show.
Dispute resolutions, right? Isn't that what he does?
That's Lynn.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Leonard Levy.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Mike is more in the finance or that area? Yeah, okay, excellent. Anyway, that was a botched attempt to try to pump these guys. Sorry about that.
He's one of the big shots over there.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Anyway, podclips.io, place to go. All right, let's get into it. Let's 30-year fixed rate loans, 7.08, 15 years at 6.57. FHA is also at 6.57, and the jumbo is 7.38. Jumbo has gone way above 7%, and we see the 30-year once again over 7%. Now, it wasn't 3, maybe 2.5, maybe 6 weeks ago that we saw prices for 30-year at about 6.5%. And we were all hoping that we were going to drift down into the fives, which would make spring buying season absolutely phenomenal because everybody would want to get out of their particular hole and go buy a house because you could afford it again mortgage-wise. Of course, that didn't happen. As often, things have not happened the way we think they're going to happen, especially since COVID. Since COVID and the influx of federal money and the stay-at-home policies and There's been such an upheaval in all aspects of real estate, whether it's the lack of housing or too much commercial. I mean, both of these things are rocking the real estate world, and they're trying to keep it so that it doesn't rock the real economy or the rest of the economy. And one of those things that we just have to look at and continue to keep an eye on so that, you know, when those times happen, when we have defaults, and there are going to be defaults on some of these large buildings, that they don't topple some of the banks, that regional banks that have taken on a great deal of the commercial mortgages. Inventory, I already talked about that, 497,608 properties, and that's, again, up 3,500. The 10-year is at 4.186, and the 2-year is at 4.5, so we have still about 40 basis points difference between the two. The spread has been there for almost 2 years, and we still have not seen the dreaded recession that's coming. But is it coming? And these are the things that have driven the consumer confidence index down. We look at that index because it's a touchy-feely thing, but consumers are fickle in that if they feel good about themselves, they're going to go out and spend money. And conversely, the economy does better, and because of that, more people get hired, and there's obviously more people in the economy who are paying into, you know, the state, and the state's healthy, and all these things are good. Inflation. We talked a little about inflation in an earlier segment. Inflation on housing, why that isn't really recorded as inflation, even though it absolutely is. Austin Goolsbee, who is the Chicago Fed president, on housing inflation, talked about how that housing inflation has affected the ability or inability of regular consumer to get into the housing market, and how that is affecting, you know, the overall strength of the economy. Obviously, housing is at the core of any kind of growth structure. Unless you have housing to buy and sell, mortgages to get into and get out of, you're not going to see that end of the business. And everybody knows 1 in 9 people in the economy work in the real estate business, whether it's agents or whether it's title officers or whether it's back-end mortgage people, banks, a lot of different companies out there to support in this industry. Very, very important. Let's get into some of the statistical information that I have here in front of me about inflation. The PCE, the personal consumption expenditure, which is apparently the go-to gauge for what the Fed looks at when it looks at overall inflation. Now, the overall inflation numbers came in 12-month headline inflation rate rose at 2.4%. 2.9% is the expected when it comes in at the beginning of March, which should be today, actually, but it'll probably be next Friday. But this personal core, this personal consumption expenditure, or PCE, the core PCE price index rose 0.3% in January. That was a jump. It came a little bit higher than it was expected to come in, and it didn't spook the market. It actually made the stock market feel good because it didn't come in higher. So in terms of inflation, yes, it isn't tamed. Yes, it continues to go up. And there's a call from a lot of the Fed governors to leave their particular Fed interest rate alone at 5.25 to 5.75% in terms of what they charge their members banks on their member banks on overnight borrowing to keep their liquidity in compliance. So, yeah, interesting. 12-month headline inflation rate rose 2.4%. As I said, core rate taxes. The core rate, which is what we're talking about, takes out food and energy. Just to remind you, we talked about that before as well. Cost of gas station food. Okay, now I bring this up because inflation is one of those things where unless it affects you personally, you're not really sure what the heck it means. For instance, I don't buy a house every day, so I don't really see house inflation as something that I think about or worry about. If you're talking about 50 million people who own a house, let's say, or have a mortgage, it's more, but let's say that's what it is. Those people who are currently paying those mortgages, they're not worried about whether their house price is going up. That's inflation. They'd worry about it if the house price went down. Yes, that's called recession. So as long as we have inflation in the housing market, most people who are in that don't think about it. But if you are like me and drive a lot, you are in gas stations all the time, and you pick up a candy bar, a bag of popcorn, whatever it is that you eat in there, a soft drink, a hard drink, a bottle of water, you realize that the what you're paying is, stupid story. So I'm in buying a sports drink, and a sports drink and a muffin, okay? Now, I'm old enough to remember that when they didn't have sports drinks, you know, they'd buy a Coke or something. But it was like $1.50, $2, $7. And this is at like a major chain, right? A 7-Eleven, a Circle K, one of these kind of stores. Gas stations always now, they don't have anybody actually working at the gas station anymore. No, it's the guy behind the counter and your credit card at the pump, and that's it. They sell you snacks, then no, don't do anything, and the price for these two items, $7. Now, that's inflation that I recognize, because there wasn't too long ago it was $4.50, and I thought that was a ripoff. And so as this affects me on a daily, because I'm reminded of it every single time I go in and buy a bag of something or a drink of something, it is infuriating to me. And so the sentiment that comes out once a month, once a quarter, which is from Michigan, the Michigan Sentiment Survey, talks about the index going down. And because of that, It's because of the problem that we see in the gas station story. Whether it's that for you, or whether it's lawn supplies, or whether it's, you know, everything just gone up. Now, I've talked on this particular show many times about I think it's corporate driven. I don't think it's actually cost or supply side driven. Anyway, we'll talk some more about it next segment. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Once again, as we deliver you news that you can use, either about mortgage interest rates or what's happening in the market, both locally and around the country, we service both the San Bernardino and Riverside counties here in Southern California, but you can also see us, hear us, all over the place. YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice is our YouTube show. We have hundreds of shows there, so if you want to binge watch them, and believe it or not, people do. So I'm glad you are tuned in. I'm glad you're listening. We often go to experts in the field to talk about what is happening, boots on the ground kind of approach. And this next guest, our next guest, Chris Pyro from Searchlight Lending, is no exception. Chris joins us now. Chris, how are you?
I'm very good. It's Friday. It's been a busy week, which is, you know, good in this business when you're busy.
It is. And tell me about that, because we, you know, we hear and we read, and we in the business experience these ups and downs. And every time the rates seem to go up, we seem to slow down. How is it for you, and how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, being in this business for 22 years now, this is probably the third quote-unquote cycle I've seen, and yes, it's slower than when the low-hanging fruit was falling from the sky and rates were in the twos, and you could spit and get a loan. But you know, these days you have to be a little more creative. You have to do non-conventional refinances. I mean, we're still doing some for certain instances, but they're probably down, I'd say, at least 80%. So having the full arsenal of fix and flip and construction and SBA, it's keeping us busy, but I'm sure a lot of people that are listening, you know, it takes 20 deals or 20 looks to get one deal in when it used to take six. So it's just a lot more work for the outcome, but, you know, everyone needs money, so they got to get it from somewhere.
You know, is that the reason that it's taking so many looks in order to get a loan, is that because people are just looky-looing, or is it because the pricing isn't correct?
You know, it's a little bit of everything, right? I mean, it's everything from people getting a contract on a purchase and changing their mind. Maybe they're waiting for the market to change, or they think it's going to change. All the way through, they don't qualify. Rates are higher, so they just plain old don't qualify with income. Lack of benefit. You know, if they're even if they need to pay off credit card debt, you know, the their payments are pretty high. So, you know, maybe they get a loan from a family member or get that zero interest credit card transfer the balances. So it's just, you know, there's less benefit when payments are higher in general. I mean, you know, one more point, you know, the market was red hot. You know, if someone got in contract, they had to close in 2-3 weeks. They didn't even have time to shop. They had five buyers behind them lined up. And now people can extend their escrows. They have more power as buyers. So they can extend. They can shop you the whole time. If rates go down during the process, they have Thanksgiving dinner with their family and their cousin gives them a better quote, or they look online, they're shopping you through the whole process when they used to not.
Yeah, that makes it extremely difficult, obviously. Now, I know Searchlight, Malibu Funding, they have a lot of different programs, and you service a lot of different types of borrowers. Give us an example of some of the different, you know, rather than your 30-year or your FHA, what are some of the other products that you might be able to offer, tell people about?
Yeah, I mean, big picture, we used to be 80% conventional residential, 20% quote-unquote out of the box. You know, it's switched. Now we're 80% out of the box, which is good, or else we'd be pretty hungry right now. But the products right now are fix and flip rehab. A lot of people are either fixing up their properties that they live in since they can't move and afford another place. Investors are busy. We're doing ground-up construction, entitlement soft cost loans, subdivisions. You know, hospitality is coming back now that COVID is quote-unquote over. And then a lot of SBA, business owners always need capital expansion. And even though it's tied to prime, they still need money. and, you know, or maybe they're buying the building they're leasing, and they want a stable place to do business. So, you know, we're doing probably a dozen SBA deals a month as well. So a little of everything.
Oh, that's a lot. Now, that you say that, it sounds as if the money pool is not the issue here. It's just the availability of properties and getting people qualified. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, once again, it is benefit. You know, if your rent or your payment's going to go up substantially, either there's no benefit or you just plan on won't qualify.
Right.
All the way through. Yeah, I mean, there is still a lack of inventory in the purchase market, right? So, you know, it's the lowest it's been in 2 decades.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, there's just, you know, the sellers still aren't being reasonable and buyers are, you know, waiting for sellers to be reasonable. So the inventory is stagnant because if I move next door in the same house, my payment's going to be 50% more. So
of course,
why would I move? So just, you know, a mix of everything. But once again, people always need money. You know, I tell my team, my agents, you know, it's not a $4.5 trillion market. It's a $2.2 trillion market, which is down 55-60%. But there's still $2.2 trillion of loans where people are going to find financing this year. And why not use, you know, us and our team?
Now, I talked earlier in the show about a little under 500,000 houses available on the market. And I also talked about the baby boomer generation who eventually over the next decade are going to either end up, you know, too old to be able to take care of their house or they'll move on. And so there's this coming tidal wave of housing coming to the marketplace. Have you thought in the future about how to approach this? Really, I mean, is it going to affect housing prices? Is it going to affect the ability to deliver loans to an affected group, which might be looking at appraisals differently than they look at today?
Yeah, I just read an article myself about how Gen Z is going to, in the next decade, take over as the highest net worth individuals from the baby boomers. And there will be a transfer of wealth, whether they're just transferring their properties and Gen Z is going to move from the garage into the main house or they're actually going to take over the payments.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I guess it's mainly what I've read. I'm not an economist, but you know, a lot of people are fine not buying these days, but rents are now the highest per income they've ever been. You know, they used to be 10% of people's income. Now they're 35-40%. So that's, you know, if you're paying the same amount in rent as your payment, why not get the appreciation, write-offs, you name it. So it really depends if rates, you know, go down a little bit. There'll be, of course, more benefit to buyers. But I think it will be a slower cycle, like I said, 5-10 years until that transfer of wealth or transfer of properties happens. You know, we're pretty technology forward. You know, we still are able to do the, you know, I don't say old school, but the pen and paper application.
Right.
But we do have all this stuff where we could do a loan from A to Z, all online, all automated, all web-based, and not ever talk to a borrower, which some people prefer. It's faster, more efficient.
Right.
Not as hand-holdy, but it's, when it comes down to it, you know, it's a different generation of technology, and you know, we have both avenues as needed.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because I'm of the generation prior to the technological boom that has happened over the last 40 years. But those people, myself included, are going to be gone from the purchase marketplace or the refi marketplace in at least the next 10 years. So the technology that's now being boosted here obviously is AI. How are you using it? What are you doing with it? Or are you involving it in your process at all?
Yeah, I mean, we just actually spoke to a company last week that I might even invest in.
Okay.
And what it does is, and it's more, I guess, on our side than the borrower interface, but we can upload a full file to this AI, you know, it's a term everyone's using now, but it will data scrape and look at everything from bank statements, the tax returns, the pay stubs, you name it. It'll pull all the data and it'll automatically underwrite the file to Fannie, Freddie, or, you know, government loan.
Right.
So we won't even have to open up a file per se and just upload everything, it scrapes it and kicks out a decision. So it's kind of wild. I think it's still in the infancy.
Right.
You know, it's there's still tertiary vendors, title, notary, appraisal that is still.
And input. Unless you're saying you can just scan documents in and it rips the information right off them and populates their own particular form that they need? Is that what it happens?
Yeah, it spits everything out into into a format where we can just submit directly to Fannie, Freddie,
wow.
FHA, VA, jumbo loans, and really, you know, not that we want to sound lazy, but it's automation, right? So,
of course.
And there's probably what, you know, people say there's errors, but there's also human error, of course. So when it comes down to it, it's one less thing that we have to do, and automates the system, makes it more efficient, which hopefully lowers costs for consumers.
Of course.
And, you know, just goes across. I mean, hopefully it doesn't get to the point where you're talking on the radio show with an AI bot and we don't have to do anything, even though I wouldn't mind spending more time with my kids and
sure.
on my bike. But, you know, I think there's still the human element in our business. I think people still need to be able to talk to somebody, especially with a big decision such as buying or financing a property. It's the biggest purchase you're ever going to
sure.
make. So I think that's still always going to be part of the experience.
So do I. Chris, we've run out of time. I appreciate you coming on. Would you let people know how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, of course. So get your pen and paper. It's Chris Pyro, P-I-R-O, broker owner of Searchlight Lending and Malibu Funding, Inc. Also UCR alumni. Don't forget that.
And, nice.
My email is chris@searchlightlending.com. And my direct cell phone is 650-773-1866.
Chris, thanks a lot for coming on. Always appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate the time.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate it. Happy to join anytime. Enjoy the day.
Thank you very much. That's Chris Pyro from Searchlight Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us on a weekly basis to get your information. Yeah, it's a spring buying season, right? It's right around the corner. Are you going to buy that house? Finally, you're going to get that house, or are you just going to stay renting? What is the decision? How are you going to make it? Who are you going to talk to? The show's here for you to get some information, maybe get some perspective, laugh a little bit, and be able to, you know, make a better decision. And that's kind of what we do on an each and every week basis. Friday and Saturday, KCAA Radio, and I don't know exactly which stations they are on. For the AM and FM, do you get
The AM is 1050 AM and the FM is 106.5.
Right, and we're on Saturday and Sunday. Thank you very much. The FM signal is great, reaches about 3.5 million people, and the AM signal is a little bit better. So, yeah, if you're out there right now and you're driving around and you're marking your calendar to listen to the radio on those days, you can catch The Mortgage Voice. And again, I'm Jeff Barton. If you want to see it, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, and that's on YouTube. YouTube has been a great help for us in terms of getting not only the message out, but being able to have people respond. Go there, say that you like what you see, and also be able to respond to me directly. And it's a great way to do that. Okay, so let's get through just a couple of other things, points to towards the end of the show here. Liberty. Liberty Mortgage is a reverse mortgage specialist. They're caught up in a class action suit, a violation of California labor laws. A few news to use sections. Rocket Mortgage to shut down their real estate and insurance agent channel. What Rocket was doing, not dissimilar to what United Wholesale was doing to the broker world, but they were trying to corner in on real estate agents by offering them some exclusive connections with loan product and get them paid on that. Well, they're shutting that particular aspect of their business down. Why only 80,000 new homes for sale? We talked a little bit about that earlier in the show. Yes, inventory, rates, recession. There are a number of reasons why businesses do what they do. The number one reason is they want to make money. It's not free. So they figured out that, hey, if we hold inventory to low levels, we can continue to keep demand high and we can continue to get prices we need to get. This is a controlled marketplace simply because they don't want to get caught in a recession with too many houses built. Everybody understands that. But at the same time, there are solutions out there to building more houses at an affordable price. And I wish more companies would get into that. But as I said, only 80,000 new homes for sale. currently. LoanDepot's cyber attack affecting 17 million people are going to cost them about $17.4 million. Read that on Housing Wire today. Kind of interesting. We're always under attack, even smaller companies, and you have to really beware. Everybody knows about ransom attack, ransomware, all this kind of stuff that's out there in the marketplace, attacking. I don't know if you know what pig butchering is. Do you know what that is, Daryl? Have you heard of that one?
Well, literally, but no, not figuratively.
Okay, well, exactly, because it's fattening of the pig and then slaughtering of them. It's a way by which there is a huge crime element in Asia, targeting older people, targeting a lot of people. Matter of fact, there was a CEO of a Kansas bank who lost $47.1 million of his bank, and they're going out of business, and he's under arrest. Yes, this is what's happening. So you're sitting around, you're at home, you get a text. Hey, how you doing? You don't know who it is. So you respond, who is this? And they respond back, oh, I'm sorry, maybe I got the wrong text. My name is blah, blah, blah. How you doing? And either you at that point choose to continue the conversation because it seems like a pleasant person, or you just shut it down and block the number. Well, there's a certain percentage of people who engage. And what happens in the people who engage, it is a slow grooming process to whereby eventually they get you to invest in companies like crypto, or in companies that offer you huge profits and gains. I think last year I was hit up at least five times, maybe six times, with this exact scenario. And I chose not to engage anybody, blocked all the numbers. That's just my standard modus operandi. However, if somebody gets hacked in their phone, which happens, and all the data in the phone is now in the possession of these crime syndicates like this, you begin to get messages from people you know. I had one from somebody I worked with, I don't know, 40 years ago. And the person, I looked them up, yeah, they were legit and everything else. But the cyber group, criminal group, who got a hold of this information was approaching me as if they were my friend. And, hey, how you doing? Haven't heard from you in forever. Great. How are you doing? You know, we started a little conversation like that until it got to the point, and it always gets to this point. Hey, have you heard about this company? Or do you know I've just been doing some great business with this company? And they always try to turn it into you investing in this. Not with them. You're not going to give them money, but you're going to get in on the upswing of a certain stock or a certain cryptocurrency or a certain idea that they're making money on. And they'll show you. And it goes so far as websites, customer service people, accounts that you have or don't have that are all online showing great profits until you go to take the money out. Until you go, by the way, John Oliver had a great segment on his show. I don't know if you know who he is, but World According to John Oliver is on HBO. And you can see it on YouTube and you can see it online. Talked all about this and how people are losing a lot of money. As I said, the CEO of a Kansas bank, $47.1 million, and billions of dollars being lost on an annual basis through something called pig butchering. I almost made an error there with my, yeah, don't say that. Pig butchering, that's right. So if you're out there and you've heard of it and you know what I'm talking about, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, beware. And by the way, anything online, anything on your phone, 90% of it is a scam. And I have my phone set up for certain settings that really identify scams, especially from area codes that I've never called in my life. And all of these places, they're just people trying to get you to either remodel your house or this thing where they're trying to get you to invest in something. Beware and be careful out there, because people in my age group, Daryl and I can share some things. It's not easy, especially if you have health issues, if you have, you know, the need for money and you're desperate and you're on a fixed income. These are the people they target. Be very, very careful. Okay, jobless claims, 215,500 on a four-week average. That's still pretty low. Serious delinquency rate on mortgages, down slightly in January, and it's still historically low levels. We've seen a number of companies lay people off in the last month to 6 weeks, but we still see these unemployment numbers really low. Now, one of the things that is not talked about enough, employment is about paying taxes. That's why employment is so important. Yes, it's important for you because you got to pay your bills, but for the government, for your state, for your county, for your city. In order to run an effective anything, fix the potholes, be able to stripe the lanes on the highway, being able to police from violent or even obnoxious crimes, they need money. And because the immigration population that has, as everyone knows, it's the big problem. Well, the other side of that is most of the jobs, the 11 million jobs that were available 8 months ago, a lot of these jobs are going to immigrants, people who can get the job, who can obviously get a job, are in the system paying taxes, paying for those things like I just said, whether it's repaving the road, striping the road, whether it's picking up the garbage, whatever it can be and will be. So when you're thinking in terms of immigration itself, remember, somebody's got to do these jobs. And because somebody is doing these jobs, the tax base goes up and the ability for you to be able to be thankful because things are getting done in your town, in your city, in your state, in your country. Yeah. These are good things. So anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Appreciate you listening to me go on and on about all kinds of things today. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us each and every week. And each and every week, I say the exact same thing. Thank you. We do appreciate it. Having people respond to the information they get and say that it's helped them in either finding a mortgage broker, finding a loan, finding a real estate agent, finding a property is always gratifying because as we've been doing this show for 10 years, the main focus here is to bring information to you that you can use, you can consider. You're not rushed to do anything and you don't have to respond if you don't want to. Now that's a pretty good deal in any business, and because the mortgage industry as well as the real estate industry is confusing, changing, and the rates keep going up and down, and unless you follow it on a daily, you are not going to be in a position to make the best decisions possible. So thanks very much for tuning in, and I really appreciate it. If you want to see the show, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, is on YouTube. Go there anytime you want. See me. See the hundreds of shows. And believe me, there are a lot of people who go back several months and then binge watch the show to see how they fare based on what the perspective is from the shows that they've seen over the past, I don't know, 6 months or so. If you're not that way, just tune in to KCAA Radio. We're on a weekly basis, Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Okay, so enough of my commercials. The most important thing about the show is we bring on great guests. And from Broker First Funding, joining us, I think for the first time, Tiffany, first time, right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, it's Tiffany Nguyen, and she joins us now from Broker First Funding. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, too. And I appreciate you coming on the show. End of the week and all, I know everyone's anxious to get out to happy hour, so I appreciate the time.
No worries.
Okay, so Broker First Funding, tell us a little bit about what your specialty is there and how you're bringing the products to the market.
Okay, so Broker First Funding I'm going to say a one-stop shop.
Okay.
We do non-QM as well as agency loans. We specialize in both. All of our underwriters have been underwriting for over 30 years with, you know, FHA, VA, conventional, and our non-QM loans, which is the bank statements, the P&L, DSCRs, foreign national, ICANN. We have them all.
Okay. And in terms of the programs themselves, what do you think is the most popular, especially in this kind of market? Now, we have a couple of banks that are offering that down payment assistance program that is forgiven. So that's kind of a niche product. I don't know if you're into that sort of thing. But what makes you guys stand out, or you all stand out from the crowd?
Okay, so yes, we do offer that program,
okay.
And I think it's called Dream for All,
uh-huh.
And that's supposedly coming in the spring.
Great.
It's a little bit different this time versus the last year because this time it's more of a lottery. So, you know, as you know, last year, like, you know,
yes.
The money went away really fast. And this time,
yes.
It's more difficult to do, definitely. And what I would say that stands out the most, you know, we stand out the most is we do pretty fast service. We're
okay.
All about customer service. I probably fund CTC files anywhere between 6 to 7 days. 21-day funding is not a problem for us.
Wow.
We're very hands-on. We're very catering to the to the broker. We listen to their needs and their concern. And if there's anything that happens, the broker can or LO can talk to the underwriter and get, you know, things done,
uh-huh.
And get the file to closing. So closing fast is our niche.
Well,
definitely.
That, yeah, in a market where you have a very limited product in the real estate world and people compete, as you know, we're going to find pretty quickly how busy we really are because spring buying season is almost upon us. So we're going to have 2, 3, 4 contracts per house or offers per house, and therefore closing fast times is one of the advantages going with you in terms of competing with other borrowers?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, for me being in business for a long time, I know what the loan officers, realtors, you know, need. I mean,
right.
I just have one that just came in right now that just called me, said, Tiffany, I have a 14-day escrow.
Huh.
And I said, bring it on. Let's do it, you know?
That's excellent. Well, 14, you know, a lot of people like that because it gives them the ability to float that rate to see if it's going to come down a little bit. What's your opinion on the rates themselves?
You know, I don't, it's really hard to say, and,
mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those that basically, you know, we heard from the beginning of the year that the rate was going to go down, and everybody
sure.
kind of lowered their rate, and it did for like 2 days
yep.
in January,
yep.
February. It's gone back up the last 2 weeks, but I've just thought, you know, the last 2 days, it's kind of going down a little bit. So I don't really know. For me, the way, if I have a fact, because I close my loan so fast, most of my loans, I'm really locking at the beginning, like, hey, is your borrower okay with this rate? Are we doing this fast? Great. Let's lock it in and not worry about it.
Right.
You know, so
right.
For me, I would say we are expecting it to go down. The question is when.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's when.
Well, no, it's kind of like the Fed funds rate in general. Hearing it today coming out of a lot of the Fed governors' mouths that say, hey, you know, we don't have to lower this rate at all. Well,
yes.
The entire world has been expecting a lowered rate at least by June. So if they're not going to do it at all, what does that do to the mortgage people? They're all going to get greedy and they're all going to say, hey, we got to keep it this high because that's what they're charging us in terms of borrowing from them on the overnight market window. So
right. And I think we all know also it's also a, you know, a year of election. Right.
That's
so
true.
That's the reason why nobody really know what's happening, because, you know, all the people who's been doing this for years have guessed wrong the last 2 years. So
yep.
No one's guessing anymore. Right. So right now, I would just say, yes, we're expecting rates are going to go down. Originally they were talking about March. Right. You know,
yep.
And that's not happening, or maybe it will happen. But definitely we're talking about June and maybe even the third quarter. Only the Fed knows.
Only the Fed knows. Yep.
Yeah, none of us know. But I really, really, the way I work with my brokers is like, you know, we looked at the pricing, and if it's good for your borrower, are you ready to lock? Let's lock it in, get it done, and get it closed. You know.
Yep. Okay, so we've got some appraisal issues coming down the line next year, not necessarily right away, but a couple of things are going to change. They're going to go from a tri-merge to a bi-merge, and they're going to go to FICO 10T, which, of course, is one of the credit scores that you're going to need, and that is, of course, what they call trending credit. I'm sure you know about it. Do you know what's different between the current three-merge system to this new thing they're going to go to with the trending data points?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
No, it's okay.
Know,
what they're
yeah.
going to do is they're going to look at the last 18 months rather than a historical snapshot. Which is currently how they look at it. Let's see your credit profile. Boom, there's a picture of it. That's your number. Instead, they're going to look at this trending number so that if you're actually getting better at paying your bills than you were, then they disregard or they lessen the amount of weight that they place on things prior to, I think it's either 18 or 24 months. Anyway, this is all coming down, part of the new approach to try to get more people approved for lesser rates on loans. Personally, I'd like to see the federal government get out of the loan business entirely, but that's just me talking. How do you feel about those things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the credit, all of that stuff, I mean, we've seen a ton of them. And, a lot of them doesn't really make sense. Like, if we're running credit, you know, it pulls down. If they pay everything on time, but they have high balance, you know, their FICO's low, it doesn't really tell, you know, to me, you know, how the borrower is. So hopefully maybe this new, based on what you're saying, maybe hopefully that's something might be a good thing for the borrowers, like you said.
Well, I think so. And I think, again, this is at late 25. I read it today on Housing Wire, I think, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting topic. But again, because we live in such a right now, what's in front of me world, especially in the mortgage industry, oh my gosh, it's you got to get working. So, because I'm living the life of leisure right now, Tiffany, I can really kick back and read articles. it's so nice.
Well, we are busy. Let me tell you. You still will see, purchases out there.
Okay.
Just a little bit of recap, like, you know, usually January, February, even December is a slow month for our industry.
Yeah.
But I, you know, my team and I have been very fortunate to be able to do, you know, pretty good number. I mean, December we did over 10 million funding. January we did 17.5. Yes, last month we did 15.6. And I have to tell you, the majority of them are purchases. So people are still buying. As you hear people saying, like, you know, do you buy now or you don't buy now, right?
Right.
So half of the people are buying now because, you know, they're like, hey, at least I'm not, you know, fighting for loan for, like, you know, a property where I don't, you know, let's say there's like 100 people going after it. But now I'm hearing, they're hearing rates are going to go down or homes are still going to go up, but there are still many buyers. I just hung up with a broker earlier. She told me I have five borrowers who put five offers in this weekend, and she's crossing her fingers that she's
all five come through. Exactly right.
All five come through, but there's not a lot of
inventory.
That's
right.
The thing. We have buyers.
Right.
You know, we all know we have buyers, right? But the inventory out there. So it's going to be very interesting between now and the end of the year because half of the people are saying recession, right?
Right.
Foreclosures. And then the other half are saying, no way. There's no inventory. There's no way.
Right.
So I don't know what's the answer, because of the way the market is right now. I don't think anyone really knows the answer.
I agree with you 100%. Tiffany, we've run out of time, and I really appreciate you coming on. That was very quick, and thank you very much. Could you let people know?
Thank you so much.
Could you let people know how they might be able to get in touch with you if they need to talk to a great...
Absolutely. My email is tiffany@bffws.com, or my phone number is 818-402-8225. I work after hours, weekends. If I see your call, I'll pick up.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Old-time service. I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on the show, too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
And you, too. That's Tiffany Nguyen. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.